Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably heard the saying, when it rains, it pours. About 6 years ago, my wife Monique and I witnessed the seeming truth of this statement firsthand. We had recently gotten married and bought our first home, and we were finally getting into the rhythms of married life when Monique suffered a life-threatening pulmonary embolism. Not long after, in the midst of Monique's grueling recovery, we received a phone call from the Homeowners Association informing us that the roof of our new home was out of compliance with HOA standards. We were given the option to either replace the roof immediately or face hefty monthly fines until the problem was resolved. At this point, we thought, well, at least it can't get any worse. And then my car's transmission died. In our culture, it's common to see situations like these as the result of bad karma or perhaps the universe trying to teach us a lesson. In some Christian circles, it's even common to think that God is punishing us for our sin. The Bible, however, offers us a clear explanation. We live in a fallen world that has been ravaged by the effects of sin and death. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul tells us that creation has been subjected to futility. He tells us that all of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth since the fall. Though we are well aware of this fact, we nevertheless put our hopes in things like getting a promotion or saving up enough money to travel the world. Sometimes our hopes even take on a selfless nature, like providing financial security for our families or helping a loved one escape the grips of addiction. Regardless of our motivations, we often find that the result is the same. We get passed over for the promotion, or we get it and we find out that we don't actually like the job. The money that we were saving to tour Europe has to be used to replace our AC unit. The financial investments that we've made don't see any returns, and our loved ones continue to fall prey to their vices. Each of these pitfalls, as painful as they may be, pale in comparison to the ultimate enemy that sin has wrought in the world, death. The sting of death consigns all our earthly hopes, dreams, and deeply cherished bonds to oblivion. Though our earthly endeavors are subjected to this frustration and disappointment, thanks be to God, because the promises of the Lord are not. The promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus is a sure and living hope because God has won it for us and God guards it for us. The promises of God are not subject to the whims of sinful man. They're not affected by the disease and the destruction that we see so commonly in nature. In his epistle to the Romans, Paul assures us that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Unlike with promotions, our hard work isn't a factor in the promises of God. Our salvation has already been earned for us on the cross. As the scriptures say, it is by grace through faith that we find salvation in Christ. Unlike our dream vacations, the debt for our transgressions have already been paid in full. Unlike the wealth that we accumulate to attain financial security, the riches we have in Christ will retain their full value for all of eternity. And finally, unlike our earthly hopes, the promises of God are not destined for the grave. In your baptism, God has cleansed you from all unrighteousness in his sight and has claimed you as his own. Through Christ's death on the cross, you've been forgiven of all of your sins, past, present, and future. This objective fact is what we can always cling to when the promises of the world seem uncertain. So, given that we have this hope, how should we live? What should we expect our lives to look like? Many believe that God expects us to be happy in every circumstance. After all, in Thessalonians 3:5, we're told to rejoice always. This may seem to refer to happiness, but it actually refers to joy. Happiness, as it's commonly understood, is an emotional state of bliss or ecstasy, a feeling of total comfort and ease with our current circumstances. To expect constant happiness this side of eternity will only lead to sorrow. What we're called to here is not perpetual happiness, but a life marked by joy. Joy is not dependent upon our circumstances, and it doesn't waver based on our feelings. Joy is the inner state of contentment rooted in the sure promises of God. So what does God promise us? God promises us that because Christ lives, we shall live. He promises us that as Christ has risen from the dead, so shall we. The hope of eternal life and a glorified, resurrected body is our promised gift, waiting to be consummated on that final day. The perfection of that gift will not change between now and the day that we see it, nor will it change after that day. We can't earn it, and nothing we do can diminish it. With this foundational joy, we live in light of an eternity of fellowship with Christ. So today I exhort you to follow the example set forth for us in the Scriptures. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, and go forth and spread the good news. Amen.